An Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales, Book 2, Chapter 19. Concerning Holy Confession. Our Savior has left in His Church the sacrament of penance and confession, in order that, as often as our souls are stained with sin, we may cleanse and purify them. Since, then, you have so sure and simple a remedy at hand, never permit your heart to remain long sullied by sin. If by chance the lioness's path is crossed by a leopard, she hastens to wash herself from the offensive odor that he imparts, lest it should irritate the lion. So the soul which has consented to sin should abhor itself and hasten to be cleansed, remembering that the everlasting eyes are upon it. And why should we die a spiritual death, since we have so sovereign a remedy at hand? You should make your confession humbly and devoutly, once a week, always, if possible, before receiving the Holy Communion, even although your conscience be not burdened with any mortal sin. For by confession you not only receive absolution for the venial sins you confess, but also great assistance in avoiding them henceforward, new light to perceive them, and abundant grace to repair the ground you have lost owing to them. Further, you practice the graces of humility, obedience, simplicity, and love, so that by the act of confession you exercise more virtues than by any other means. Always entertain a sincere hatred of the sins you confess, even though they be trifling, and a hearty resolution of amendment. Some mechanically, and from mere habit, confess their venial sins without thinking of their correction, and continuing in them, lose much spiritual good. If, therefore, you make confession of untruthfulness through want of thought, of hasty words, or self-indulgence, repent heartily, and firmly resolve to amend. For it is an abuse of the confessional to avow any sins, either mortal or venial, without purposing to be set free from them. Do not rest satisfied with vague general confessions. I have not loved God as much as I ought. I have not prayed with enough earnestness. I have not shown enough charity toward my neighbor. I have not received the sacraments with the reverence I ought, and so forth. For by such confessions you in no degree enlighten your confessor as to the true state of your conscience, since all the saints now in paradise and every living being might confess the same thing. Examine for what particular reason you have to accuse yourself of these faults, and having ascertained it, accuse yourself honestly and simply of the special omission or commission. For instance, you say you have not treated your neighbor with due charity. Perhaps, because, having seen a poor man in great need whom you might easily have helped, you neglected to do so. Well, then, specify your neglect. Say, I saw a needy brother, and, either through negligence or indifference, or hardness of heart, as the case may be, I forbore to relieve him. Again, do not accuse yourself generally of being cold in your devotions, but if you have voluntarily yielded to distractions, or neglected to seek the fitting time, place, or circumstances for thoughtful prayer, say that at once, according to the facts, without keeping to those useless, lukewarm generalities. Again, do not content yourself with confessing the fact of venial sins, but mention likewise the motive which induced the sin, Thus, instead of simply confessing you have told a falsehood which did not injure your neighbor, say whether it was from vanity, in order to screen yourself from blame or win praise, or whether it was from thoughtlessness or perversity. If you have exceeded in amusements, explain whether it was from being engrossed by society or vanity or so on. Say whether you persisted long in your fault, for duration aggravates sin, and there is a wide difference between the passing vanity which surprised us for a quarter of an hour, and that which has engrossed our heart for a day or more. Therefore, be particular in confessing the fact, the cause, and the duration of your faults. For although we are not bound to so strict a confession of venial sins, yet those who are really anxious to purge their souls and attain to pure devotion should give heed to disclose every slight symptom to their spiritual physician so that he may heal them. Be careful also to mention those details which explain the nature of your fault, such as the cause which excited your anger, or led you to encourage what was wrong. Thus, someone I dislike has said some trifles in jest, which I took amiss and was angry with him. But if a person I liked had said something more offensive, I should not have taken it amiss. Therefore, I will not spare myself, but own up that I gave way to anger, not on account of what was said, but because I disliked the speaker. And if it is necessary, in order to explain that you repeat the very words, I would have you do so, for by thus honestly confessing everything, you not only disclose your actual faults, but also the bad inclinations and habits and similar roots of sin which lurk within you, by which means your spiritual father obtains a more perfect knowledge of the heart he has to deal with, and of the treatment to be adopted. But, as far as possible, avoid naming any third person in your confessions. Keep watch over the many faults which often exist and domineer insensibly in your conscience, in order that you may confess them and conquer them. And, to this end, study the 6th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 35th, and 36th chapters of the 3rd book, and the 7th chapter of the 4th book. Do not lightly change your confessor, but having once selected one, be punctual in opening your conscience to him at the appointed seasons, telling him simply and honestly all your faults. And from time to time, say every 1 or 2 months, open to him the state of your inclinations, even though you may not have sinned by them, such as that you are assailed by sadness or gloom, or that you are tempted by excitement to avaricious desires, or any similar dispositions. End of chapter 19.